Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And if you have a camera phone, there's a decent chance you have Instagram. And if you have Instagram, there's a decent chance you had a minor freakout yesterday. Let's talk about that company's new privacy policy announced yesterday and whether it really is all that different from the expansive terms of service for all the other digital services you use. Sam Biddle is a senior writer for Gizmodo. He was last on the show to discuss the privacy concerns over the social network Path. So Sam is quickly becoming our creepy privacy concerns correspondent. Sam, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And in a few minutes, folks, we're going to bring in James Estrin, the Lens blogger for the New York Times. He will react to the Instagram news, but also he'll help launch our second annual year-end Brian Lehrer Show photo project, asking for the best pictures of the year that you took on your cell phone. Jim's going to serve as a judge for this year's submissions, so we will get to that. But first, Sam, here's the Instagram TikTok. Let me see if I got this right.
Sure.
Instagram announces their new terms of service. Everyone freaks out because they think it means Instagram can now sell the picture they took of their kids to Pepsi or Nike or whoever.
Right.
Everyone downloads their pictures and closes their Instagram accounts. A few tech bloggers write pieces that say, actually, it's not what you think. Then Instagram is forced to release a statement clarifying their terms of service, and everyone goes to bed last night confused. So with the benefit of a whole 30 hours of hindsight, what really happened with Instagram's change in their terms of service?
Pretty much nothing has happened. It's been a lot of hot air. It's been a lot of whining, a lot of, as you said, freaking out. But the thing is, no one has really closed their account. There hasn't been really any action behind all this paranoia. And it's really because people love Instagram too much to give it up. As much as we like fretting over privacy worries, we like free, fun photo sharing apps a lot more.
Well, just to put a fine point on it, can they sell your pictures to an advertiser?
We're really not sure. They put out this clarifying statement last night saying, stay tuned, we're going to change some things. They made some very rosy promises that we would never sell your photos to advertisers. But until it's actually implemented in a new terms of service, which has not been put out yet, we don't know. We're just taking their word for it. And general rule is don't take a tech company's word for anything.
Right. Well, I'm looking at some of the language from the Instagram terms of service as released yesterday, and it says, quote, you agree that a business or other entity may pay us to display your username, likeness, photos, along with any associated metadata, and or actions you take, they can sell our actions, in connection with paid or sponsored content or promotions without any compensation to you. That sounds pretty broad to me.
It is pretty broad. But the thing is that we've been getting a free ride from Instagram for a couple years now. There are very few things that are both free to acquire, free to use, and ask nothing of us in terms of money. And, it's a company. It's a publicly owned company. It's owned by Facebook, which has shareholders whose interests are not ours. And we shouldn't be surprised when they try to make money somehow. That's the way anything works. You can't imagine a restaurant chain giving away hamburgers.
And you can be sympathetic to tech startups feeling pressure to find a way to monetize. I guess selling our photos is one of the only ways that Instagram can actually make money, and maybe that's part of the deal if we want all these free or almost free social media sites to continue to exist for our benefit.
Exactly. We've become pretty spoiled, I think. We expect everything to be free. The stuff we read, the stuff we use, it should be free to download, it should be fast, it should be perfect. And then when a company has the audacity to run itself like a business, we're shocked. I think that
on the other hand, there has to be some kinds of standards of decency here, right? So again, to quote from that language, do we in order to get free use of Instagram or cheap use of Instagram, do we really have to agree that they may take money from an advertiser to display our personal photographs? If our personal photographs wind up in a Pepsi ad or a Exxon ad or, whatever it is, that we don't have to give some kind of permission for something like that?
Well, I think there are two things here. One, yeah, it's a little creepy, but we have to ask ourselves, is it too creepy to use Instagram? I think almost everyone's going to say, no, it's not. It might feel a little icky, but I like Instagram, and I'll forget about the ickiness pretty soon. The other thing is that you have to sort of reflect on the stuff we're putting on Instagram to begin with. Yes, there are some professional photographers out there who use it to exhibit their work, who actually are talented, but most of us are just putting up pictures of, you know, our feet on the beach and our cats, and it's really pretty throwaway stuff that I think we're attaching a little bit too much value to. You know, if an advertiser wants to use a picture of the coffee I'm drinking to sell coffee, you know, I'm sort of flattered, if anything. I didn't put much thought in the picture to begin with.
And so you said earlier that no one has actually closed their accounts. So I guess that means the companies know they can push the limits of privacy. And there may be a little flurry of commenting on social media, but they're not really going to get socked where it hurts.
Yeah, I think it helps to look at the history of Facebook. Since Facebook has started, maybe twice a year, every year, for the past half a decade, it has really freaked out its users by changing site layout, by changing privacy policies, by changing how you can change your privacy settings. And every time everyone says, I'm done with Facebook, this is, you know, a fascist corporate police state. And look, now a billion people on the planet are using Facebook. These things, while they might freak us out over these somewhat sinister privacy issues, we like them too much to quit. They're free and they're fun, and that's a pretty hard combo to give up.
And I'm sure all those sandals manufacturers will love all those feet on the beach pictures that everybody uploads every summer. But
exactly.
There's an article up on BuzzFeed now that says, don't freak out about Instagram's terms of service. Freak out about all terms of service. So is the real lesson here that basically every social media company is asking this of you?
Yeah, you know, I read that article. I think it's pretty spot on. Instagram has been, I think, getting a pretty unfair brunt of the freak out here. If you go back and look at the terms of service you've already agreed to for Gmail, for Facebook, for Twitter, for whatever else you use, this kind of language is very common. It's both so that a company can cover its own behind in case of legal action, but it's also just a way that a company can make sure we have a chance of making money in the future. And we can't forget that these are all companies. As much as they're ubiquitous, friendly thing we have in our lives, they're money-making operations. And so, yes, Facebook also wants to monetize the little dumb observations we make and the pictures we take, just the same as Instagram does.
And to clarify further on Gizmodo, your colleague Mario Aguilar wrote, basically Instagram can take your photos, username, location data, and actions and place them very near an advertisement for something. The only thing Instagram can't do is modify your content and incorporate it with the ad itself. So now let's bring in James Estrin, photojournalist at the New York Times, as we stay with Sam Biddle from Gizmodo. But James Estrin, who is senior staff photographer and the co-editor of the New York Times Lens blog, he's going to help launch our year-end photo project, asking for your best cell phone photos of the year. Where not Instagram. Hi, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. My pleasure.
And first, do you have any reaction to this Instagram news? I know the Times has experimented with your photojournalists using the service.
Yeah, I do. I think Sam analyzed it pretty well. You know, it's like dealing with a monopoly like, you know, Ma Bell or Con Ed. You can complain all you want, but the vast majority of people are going to continue to use it. And it is exactly 3 times a year on my Facebook feed, I see the exact same thing. Mostly it's going to, if it affects anyone, it would be just the handful of professional photographers who use it. Myself, I'd rather pay for the service and own the rights to the photos more clearly.
So let's go on to our year-end project. And here's how it works. Every year there are roundups of the best photos of the year, professional roundups, but we want to gather the best photos that are sitting on our listeners' cell phones. So here it is, folks. Go through your phone's pictures and submit one or two, two is the max, that tell a great story about something that happened in 2012. And just to be clear, we want these to be photos with some journalistic value, even if informally. So not your kids or your dogs, no matter how cute they are, unless they're making serious news. Two photos per person max, as I said. You can find more information and an upload form on our website. It's really easy to submit. And we're going to keep this going till next Tuesday, which is Christmas Day, at noon. So you have almost a full week to submit. And then, Jim, you're going to be back with us next Wednesday, the day after Christmas, to discuss your favorite. What do you think makes a great cell phone picture?
Well, I think it's the same thing that makes a great picture. What I look for in photographs is something that makes me feel something. It can make me laugh. It can make me cry. Or something where I learn something from, or I have a sense of recognition I can relate to.
Sam, do you do this, whether working for Gizmodo or in your personal life? Do you come upon things and go, oh, I'm taking out my phone and snapping a picture of that?
All the time. I did it while I was waiting on the line here 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
Really? What'd you take?
Just picture me holding the phone. Again, you know, not the most exciting picture, but...
It was very clever.
I do agree. I mean, I think that cell phone pictures have a lot of that same power. Maybe not all the time, but it's definitely there.
And what did you do? Tweet out that photo saying, here's me waiting to go on the Brian Lehrer Show.
I'm going to do that as soon as I get off the air here, yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank Sam Biddle from Gizmodo, our informal creepy privacy concerns correspondent, for coming on and talking about the Instagram story today.
My
Sam,
pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Anytime.
And Jim, just to go through this again very briefly so we actually get people starting to do it. We did it last year too, and we got a great collection. And we'll talk about some of your favorites next week, but this isn't really a contest to name a winner. This is to build a gallery of Brian Lehrer Show listeners, WNYC listeners, interesting shots that we know many of you take on your cell phones as you move around the world. So go through your phone's pictures and just submit one photo or two photos that tell a great story about something that happened in 2012. The deadline for submission will be Tuesday, Christmas Day at noon. And we have a form on our website. Just go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Jim, do you ever, and we'll have a slideshow of all the submissions as they come in, so everything you post will be viewable unless we have to censor it in order to, you know, keep our FCC license or something. But Jim, did you happen to see the ones we had up there last year?
I did not yet. I'm sorry.
We just have such an interesting group of listeners. And they have interesting ways of looking at the world, and so we got a lot of stuff. Do you have some favorites from the professional photojournalism world this year?
Yeah, well, I think the Time magazine had five photographers cover Sandy, and they posted it live on Instagram. Ben Lowy is a wonderful iPhone photographer, the photojournalist. Also, Ed Kashi. You know, to really use the camera well, you sort of have to master it. You know, an iPhone camera is a brilliant camera. And
those photos will soon be seen right next to an ad for flood insurance, no doubt.
Possibly, yes.
On Instagram.
Possibly, no.
But, okay, well, we will look for those, and we'll talk about some more that are on your radar screen when you come back a week from today, next Wednesday, when we look at some of the photos that any of our listeners took anytime during 2012 that are really interesting and happen to be sitting on your cell phones right now. Just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see how to upload them. And we thank our guest, Jim Estrin, from the New York Times Lens blog. Jim, we'll talk to you next week. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, speaking of Time Magazine, Time Magazine's Person of the Year is, if you didn't hear it yet this morning, we'll tell you, and we'll talk about why and some of the runners-up. Stay tuned.